morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to be together again this morning. Very warm welcome to everyone. If this is the first time you've been with us, we do hope you enjoy your time this morning. And of course, those watching on YouTube, our virtual family, it's lovely to have you with us as well. So, just a few notices before Tina and Pauline and Rob lead us in the sung worship. I'm sure it'll be rousing. We look forward to that. And then Joe will be speaking to us later in the service. After the service, we will just like a very short members' meeting. Now, we always joke about this because Megan is a very short church member, right? We've done that over the years, but it's nothing to do with you personally this morning, Meg. It's just that there's something that we just need to discuss very quickly. So if all church members are able, if we get a cup of tea and then go into the schoolroom, and it'll just be 5-10 minutes. Tomorrow, no ladies' meeting. The next meeting will be on the 19th. On Tuesday, we have the playgroup at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Just to say, the mini Messy Church last Tuesday was really very well attended, about 16 children, so that was really good. We're prayer meeting down here at church on Wednesday, 11 o'clock, and the lunch club at 12. Next Saturday the 17th, the prayer meeting will be down here at church at 9:30, and then the singing at Treaton Grange, that's again this month at 10:45. We have a date for Joe's welcome induction, whatever you like to call it, and that's Saturday the 7th of June at 3 o'clock, followed by tea and cakes. If you could sign up if you're going to be able to come, just for catering purposes, really. There will be quite a few visitors here as well, I think. So if you could do that, that would be a great help. There's a sheet at the back. And also, there's a sign-up sheet for the Youth Alpha, which is due to start on the 22nd of June. Thank you very much for those who have already put their names on there. But as they say, the more the merrier, more people that can help, the better it will be. So that'll be there for a couple of weeks until we get started. Website, Facebook page, all updated regularly. But of course, if you need to speak to anyone, just give us a ring. There's always someone around.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful weather that we've got. And help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And let us see you in all your glory this morning. Bring us together as one family. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to read a little bit that's been on my heart for weeks. In fact, is there anybody from the Methodist in here, any of the ladies? This is the word I took to them a few weeks ago, so I apologise if you've heard it before. It's about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavour? How can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And it's just struck me, that's all, because I'll share one. You know I like to share a little funny with you. Just a little funny, not a big one. But if Michael's out for a night, whatever he's doing, and I'm in the house on my own, my friends, if they come past our house, because our house is the last house in the village, and they'll no doubt text me and say, "Are you on your own, Tina?" And I'll say, "Well, yeah, but how did you know?" Because every light in the house was on. And when Michael comes in, he'll say, "It's like Blackpool illuminations in here." And they all go off. And really, we're a beacon for Christ. We're a light for Christ. And we're in a battle as well. So we are now going in to sing, in heavenly armour we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we are in a battle, so we need to put our spiritual helmets and breastplates on and get going. And I think, Deirdre, you're up, are you? Come on.
So in the church Bibles, it's John chapter 1 on page 886, verses 1 to 14. And then I'm going to read some from John 8, but I'll give you that page in a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then on page 984, John chapter 8. They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses has commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. And from now on, sin no more." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you'd know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come.
Thank you. I did think when I looked at this passage closely, I thought, oh, this is a good one to start with, isn't it? Nice light subject matter for you, but don't worry too much. If I asked you, who are you? What would you say? Maybe you start by saying your name and perhaps a little bit about you. Maybe you talk to me about your family or your occupation or where you live. So who are you? Who really are you? And who are you when you're not at church? Are you the same person or do you act a little bit differently? And maybe you're thinking, well, I know who I am, but who are you? Or what are you really like? Can I trust you? That's a big question, isn't it? I hope so. But perhaps the real question for today is, who is Jesus? And do you follow him? And how closely do we follow him? Would we lay our life down for him in the same way that he laid his life down for us? At the start of John's Gospel, John the Baptist is asked that very question. He's asked, who are you? And John the Baptist replies, I'm not the Messiah. And just so you know, I'm not Jesus either, so don't expect me to be. John 1, verse 22, they asked John the Baptist again, who are you? What do you say about yourself? And John replies, I'm the voice of one calling out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Verse 24, they continue to ask, who are you? Why do you baptize people if you're not the Messiah or Elijah, nor a prophet? And John the Baptist replies, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, and he is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. And John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus. He points to who Jesus is. He clears the way for Jesus. At the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1, that's the Apostle John, not John the Baptist. That's the focal point of the whole of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the other synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is trying not to tell the people exactly who he is too soon. And particularly in Mark's gospel, we have what's called a messianic secret. And Jesus is concealing his messianic identity. He's concealing that he is the promised Messiah who's come to redeem us all, to save us all. Jesus didn't want them to get the wrong end of the stick as to who he was and the kind of Messiah that he was. The Jews were expecting some kind of military ruler to come in pomp and circumstance. And of course, Jesus was far from that. He was very humble and came to bring peace. He also didn't want his identity to be revealed too soon. If it was revealed too soon, then he'd die too soon. And I wonder if you imagine what it would be like if Jesus came now. I mean, he wouldn't be able to keep that secret, would he, with the internet? There'd be click, 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 click. Oh, that guy says he's Jesus. But I wonder, actually, would we still believe him if he said, I'm Jesus? Who are you? And who are you, Jesus? In John's gospel, there's much more of a reveal of who Jesus is. And we have these I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true wine. I am. And over these coming weeks, we'll continue to look at these statements of who Jesus is. In chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Preceding this, we have the woman who was caught up in adultery, the very acts of adultery, we're told. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. The likelihood is that she was already married and was having a sexual relationship with someone who she wasn't married to. The charge was against her, a compromised woman. And the fact that she was compromised meant that her family was compromised and her bloodline was compromised. And under Mosaic law, this was something punishable by death for both the man and the woman. And yet, here is the woman that is singled out. The woman that's voiceless, who's dragged in, probably in a state of half undress. And it's Jesus who becomes her voice. Roman law actually held the power regarding capital punishment. And in any event, the Mosaic law, as written in Deuteronomy, did not say that she should be stoned. The Pharisees were not being totally honest with Jesus. They were trying to trap him yet again. It was another attempt to arrest him. But Jesus bent down and he started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone who was without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the floor with his finger. And at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was the only one left. It was just Jesus and the woman just standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked the woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life at sin. If we shine a torch or we put on a light switch in the daytime, it doesn't make much difference, does it? But if it's dark and we stick the light on, then it makes a big difference. If we live in sin, whatever that sin is, and sin is something that's outside of God's will, if we live in that sin, then we live in darkness. But it's Jesus that comes and shines the light. He brings the light to those dark places in our lives and in the community that we live. It's not for us to judge how other people react or what they do or what they don't do or what they say or what they don't say. That's God who is to judge. And we're all accountable to God. And at some stage we'll have to face our accounts to God. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all get things wrong. We all sin. Even the minister. None of us are perfect. But it's Jesus that comes to bring the light and to bring forgiveness to us. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some people say that the world is getting worse and worse and darker as we head toward the end times. Some will say we're in the end times. But whatever you believe, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that will always be true. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. That light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void and empty, and darkness over the face. So I'll start that again. I've memorized it when I was a kid, so it comes out in a different version. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Before the world was created, God was. The Spirit hovered over the waters, the darkness of the waters. The Spirit was. The light was. God was and is to come. The Spirit has always been there. Jesus has always been there from the very creation of the world. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." And Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Jesus was actually in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And during that time, there were four huge candelabras. Get the word out. I've got your problem, Tina, getting the words out. Candelabras, that's it, yeah. Leonardo, who's the other one? Oh, yeah, my brain's gone, sorry. Anyway, lampstands, okay. Or torches, and there's these four torches that were lit in the course of the women in the temple, commemorating the fact that the Lord had been a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire in the nighttime, that he protected and guided Israel in those 40 years in the wilderness. And the people would have remembered this, that it's only just happened, that the light, these four lights have been lit. And here was Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Not these candles, not these lampstands. I am the light of the world. And the Pharisees, they were still asking these same questions. Who are you? And they wanted another witness. It was their law to have two witnesses to condemn someone. Someone else to say and to testify who Jesus was other than Jesus. But Jesus wasn't playing their games. He said, "I'm telling you who I am. I am the God who sent me. I am. What more do you want?" They continue to ask the question in verse 58. He says, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself and slipped away from the temple grounds. I've always loved this picture. I have a copy of it in my study at home. This is by Helmut Hunt, and it's called Light of the World. Jesus is the light of the world, and he continues to knock on the door of our hearts and ask to be let in. He knocks, and some of us are still saying, "Who is it?" But perhaps it's time to open that door, to let him in and to find out exactly who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? As we seek to follow him, to learn more about him, to know who Jesus is, he calls us to shine his light, not our light, his light, in a dark and fallen world. Who is Jesus? And who am I? Who are any of us? Who does God say that I am? I'd like you to ponder that over these coming weeks. Who does God say I am? As in, not me, you, okay? It's very difficult sometimes to know who we are in Christ. But maybe that's the question we should be asking. Who is God calling us to be? Who is God calling this church community to be? What does it look like to shine the light of Christ on our own lives? And where can we shine the light of Christ as we become more like Jesus? Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful lights. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Loving God, as you've challenged us today, we bring to you all the things that we've done wrong. The things that we've done wrong this week, the things that we've tried to bury perhaps over the last weeks and months and maybe years. But we bring you these things and we ask your forgiveness, knowing that if we ask your forgiveness, you forgive us. And our sins are as if they were never there. We thank you that you cleanse us and make us whiter than snow. And as Jesus knocks on the door to our hearts, we give you ourselves and all that we are and all that we will be. And we ask that we may truly shine for you, that we may point others to you, that as a church in Swallow Nest and beyond, where we all live, where we all work, that we may take your light, Jesus, and shine it in those dark places. That your presence will go with us because you are in us. That your Holy Spirit may go with us because he is in us. We pray that we may no longer walk in darkness, but walk in your light, in the light of Christ. Father God, we ask that you be with us in these coming weeks, that you'll continue to talk to us, that our eyes and ears and hearts will be open to you as we move closer to knowing you. We pray that we may feel your presence more and more. So Father God, we give you our week. And give it to you. We give you our worries and our troubles and give them to you. We give you our grief and our pain and our the bits in our body that perhaps need healing, and give them to you. And we ask for healing and for grace, that you may bless us, and bless us indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, light of the world, as we've heard this week, don't hide it under a bushel. You know, I ask God for opportunities, and believe me, you get what you ask for sometimes. And I've had a few opportunities these last few weeks that, whoa, Lord, oh God of it, you know. So when you ask for an opportunity, be willing to step out. And God will bless, because he has blessed me tremendously over the last fortnight, really. So let's not hide it under a bushel or under a bucket. Let's take it out to people who don't know Jesus yet, but they will. They will if we take the light of the world out there. Let's say the grace to each other, please. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.